And we are back. Day two of the Business Writers Conference, brought to you by Business Writers Exchange, broadcasting live from the Renaissance Birmingham Ross Bridge Golf Resort and Spa. Stone Payton, Darren Parkinson here with you. This is going to be a fantastic segment. We've been trying to put this together for a day and a half now. Now it's finally happening. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Lana Guest Thompson. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right. So it also says, comma, on your business card, PHR. Mm-hmm. I assume that is some type of professional credential. Tell us what that means.
That stands for Professional and Human Resources.
All right. And so what are you out there doing for folks? Tell us a little bit about your work, Lana.
Okay. My goal is to help with communications and to help people build better relationships in the workplace. So I found that purpose in 1996, and I do that through human resources consulting, through training, through coaching, and through professional facilitation.
Now, do you have a sweet spot, a certain type of company or industry or sector that kind of gravitates to you in your work, or are you in a lot of different industries?
I'm in a lot of different industries, but it seems to me that one of my primary focuses has been in construction, the construction industry.
I got
a lot
tell
of
you.
Clients in that.
I got to tell you, that surprises me.
Really? It did me too.
Well, no, it's just not the first thing that comes to mind.
I know.
Not necessarily that they wouldn't have some of these challenges, and certainly couldn't use the help. I guess part of what is surprising me, I would not have thought necessarily that they would have been one of the first to invest in that kind of thing.
I could not agree with you more, but my first client when I decided to start my own company was a local construction company, BE&K, and I kind of got my feet wet through that company, and from there, other contacts, and went on to doing some federal government construction work with around the country and a couple of jobs overseas.
It is amazing what a marvelous sales and marketing tool just doing good work is.
You know, that is so true.
That's the best, right?
That is absolutely so true. Nothing succeeds like success, of course. And I've never really marketed. It's my business has been word of mouth for that reason, I think. I know the work is good because they ask me back.
Well, that is it's a pretty good indicator, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
So walk us through the process, if you will, particularly the early stages of, like, what would you call it, an engagement cycle. How do things get kicked off? You sit down with the execs and talk with them through what they want to accomplish, or walk us through that process a little bit, if you would.
I guess the biggest thing for me is network before you need to.
Ah.
I worked at Southern Company here in Birmingham for 10 years, and during that time I was active in the local training association, used to be ASTD, now it's ATD, and the local HR association affiliated with SHRM, the Society for Human Resource Management. And I volunteered, and people knew me, and when I decided to start my own business, I had instant references and people recommending me. I would get calls and saying, you know, so-and-so recommended you for this job we have, and I wouldn't even know who that person was. It really was mysterious to me how that worked. But network before you need to.
That is good advice. Okay, so this happens, you get referred, mm-hmm. Joe Smith at XYZ mm-hmm. has an interest. And so then you have this initial kind of conversation. What does that look like when you're first getting this an effort with a new company, a new client company off the ground?
The first thing that I remind myself to do is listen. Because I'm not trying to promote what I know. I'm trying to match what I know with what they need. So first I have to know, what are you trying to do with this, whether it's a workshop or a seminar or a keynote address? What are you trying to do with this? What is your message you're trying to get out to people? And then I try to connect with that the best I can with my experience. And if I don't have a lot of experience, I will go read and research and interview. I like to interview more than just the CEO. I like to know what other people that are going to be in that platform, whatever it is, what they want to get out of it, because sometimes I find that the CEO is not connected with what the managers need or the employees need.
Right.
They want you to come in and teach, you know, diversity, and you go interview some other people, and it's like, no, we value diversity here. What we need is communications, and we need better goals or whatever.
So, and do you ever get that call? Can you come in, Lana, and just fix Bob? Have you ever gotten that call?
All the time. All the time. And I've gotten to where I don't take those jobs anymore. If they aren't willing to give some time to it, like a fixing Bob thing, and I say, I need a commitment of at least 3 months, because change is a process. It's not an overnight event. And generally, they will give me that, but poor Bob, you know, next week he's supposed to be a different person, and he can't be. So, yeah, I get that a lot, and it's not realistic.
Well, and not only that, you might dig in a little bit and find out, you know, Bob's not the problem, you are.
That happens, too.
You have to have
absolutely.
That
and then
right?
You go back, and that's when you put your whole work on the line, because you have to say the things that are not easy to say. And I've worked really hard with that, and I think I have some really good ways of saying what people don't want to hear.
So you mentioned change a moment ago. You said it's a process. It's not an event.
Not an event.
But all the work you are doing is certainly bringing with it, I would think, often substantial change, right? So you have to be not only competent in a specific domain, whether it's diversity, communication, or what have you, but you've got to be kind of a change management ninja as well, don't you?
You do, and you have to turn loose of the need to care if somebody likes you or not. Because what I find is most people do appreciate honesty as long as there's not an attack. So many people don't tell you the truth. But if you learn how to tell the truth in a way that the person doesn't feel like that you are attacking them and making them be the bad person, then they have a chance to fix it. One of the things I say to a lot of my clients is that I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is that you're part of the problem. I said that wrong. The bad news is you're part of the problem. The good news is you're part of the problem. Because if you're not part of the problem, you're not part of the solution. And so when it comes to change, and especially drastic change, I focus a lot on that. Thank goodness you're part of the problem.
Do you ever run into this when you're in and around major change initiatives that you have, well, first of all, maybe different pockets in the organization that are at different places emotionally with regard mm-hmm. to the change? Some are fired up about it. Some mm-hmm. are really not happy at all. Some are like apathetic, and this too shall pass. So I would think you probably run into that sometimes. But what I was going to ask, do you ever run into where you've got a group of people or some very key people who are really fired up about it, but it's kind of a naive level of optimism? Maybe they're kind of change junkies, and you just know from your experience that once they learn more about what this is really about, they're going to hit a little bit of a valley as they get more educated. Do you ever see that unfold?
Yes. One of the things about change, even people who are bought into change, it still can be very daunting. And I try to create some space when I'm working with any client with some change coming down the pike, especially big change, give people a chance to vent without trying to fix everything. Sometimes just the act of letting people vent their fears or their concerns is enough to let go of some of the pressure that's building up
mm-hmm.
and just make that okay. Don't try to fix everything. Just make it okay to at least put the stuff out there, you know, to vent what is concerning you the most. And that's helpful. And then helping people feel like that they can, all along the way, be a part of adjusting the change, the pieces that aren't working. A lot of people are afraid you're going to force a whole program on them, and maybe 80% of it is great, but the 10% needs to change within the change. And encouraging that, because sometimes you do have to make it up as you go along.
Yeah, you can't, whatever you put together before you get this thing started, that's going to definitely change, right? But I can tell you, I'm identifying with what you say because I believe personally, if I felt like I could have some authorship, some mm-hmm. input as the process unfolds, I think I might give you as my leadership or see a little more latitude in the first place.
Right.
And then I'm thinking if I'm in the shoes of the senior level leadership, if people are not feeling anywhere from not feeling great to just downright pissed off about it,
yes.
I think it's better if I know that. So mm-hmm. to give them some space to communicate
right.
that, I mean, to me, that makes all the sense in the world to do that, because if that goes underground, they're still going to kill it, right? They're still going to sabotage
will.
The heck out of it. Might as well know mm-hmm. about it, right?
Absolutely.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of work. You sure?
It is a lot of work. It is a lot of work, and I think you have to just, the best you can, you have to apply some age-old wisdom to it. It's human nature we're talking about here. And the latest fad may or may not address just pure human nature.
Now, you've been at this a while, so mm-hmm. you probably see some patterns, some things over and over with respect to a lot of these disciplines. But we've been talking about communication and change. I wonder if there are a few that just you see almost every time in the early stages, almost to the point where you roll your eyes to yourself, maybe not in front of the
yes.
client, and you're like, here we go again.
Yes.
What are some of those major mistakes or patterns that you see major mistakes? I guess yeah, that's what I'd call them, major mistakes.
Mistakes. The biggest one I see is people draw conclusions based on limited information, and they assign meaning to what other people do.
Mm.
They assign a meaning to it. I saw it in the presidential campaign. The Republicans assigned meaning to what Hillary Clinton did. For example, they might say, well, she doesn't care anything about America. You don't know that. And then the Democrats would assign meaning to what Trump said. I mean, they're still doing it. He doesn't care anything about, fill in the blank. And you don't know that. What you know is what people say. You can quote what people say, and you can make observations on factual information, and then just say one of the conclusions you might draw is. But people are stating those things as facts. So getting into the corporate world, I hear managers say the employees are just lazy. They don't care about their work ethic.
Well, and that's highly unlikely, isn't it?
It's highly unlikely.
Right.
I don't know anyone that gets up in the morning and says, I just want to stink at what I do today. Employees do the same thing. They say, managers don't care about the people. They just care about the bottom line. And it may feel that way, but they state it as fact.
Yeah.
And I'm really noticing that. In fact, I have a book inside of me I'm working on to write about this.
Now, that's what brings you to this conference, or
yes,
part of what
yes.
brings you to this
mm-hmm.
conference.
Mm-hmm.
So you're putting a book together. Tell us about the conference. Has the experience lived up to its advanced press? Are you getting some good stuff from this?
It surpassed anything that I imagined. I am so impressed with this. Can't wait for the next one next year.
Well, yeah, hopefully there'll be a third annual. This is
I
the second annual Business Writers Conference. But now, look, they kind of, or I get the sense that you have all these accountability partners in the room, right? Because this is a very
yes.
collegial, collaborative. So they're going to all expect you to show up next year with your book, right?
Well, they should. I invited some people to come to the conference. They didn't come, but I invited them to come to be my accountability partner, because we talk about writing a book for years sometimes, and you don't do anything about it. This is my first writer's conference. This is the first time I've put any structure around the feeling inside of me that I need to write a book.
So some of the things that you were exposed to, did you talk through or attend some sessions on getting a book proposal together and
yes.
publicity and,
yes.
and marketing? So what stood out for you?
Well, I like the idea of using a metaphor.
Hmm.
Maureen Ovi talked about that. I think for me that's a good start, and to keep it simple, because people aren't reading the 300-page books now.
Mm-hmm.
And to start publicizing it before you write it. I mean, start making those connections. And I think being at this writers conference, I made some wonderful connections here, exchanged business cards with some very powerful people who seemed to want to help me.
And yeah, we've got, what, publicists, yeah, we've got editors, we've got all kinds of folks here, right?
Everything, yes.
And some very well-established, very accomplished authors, and there's some aspiring authors here, but what impresses me, and again, we were here last year, so I had a little bit of precedent for this, mm-hmm, so I knew to expect it. It's just such a collaborative crowd. I mean, they genuinely are invested in your success.
They want to help. The other people here who are wanting to write books want to help you. And the experts want to help you. Of course, I've been friends with Jack and Patty Phillips for years now. And I've always felt encouraged by Jack and Patty. And, you know, they're the reason I'm here, the primary reason I'm here.
Well, they're the reason we're here. They are just good people. We had the pleasure of interviewing them, Lee and I, probably 3 or 4 years ago at an ATD. I think it was ASTD at the time. One of their big powwows in Dallas or something. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just 30 seconds into that conversation, you recognize the character of these. They're just good people, as my daddy would say.
They're good people, very successful people, but they give back.
Well, and they deserve every bit of it. Right. All right. Now, speaking of conferences and things, you're very involved. You're very good about giving back to the profession, and you're involved with an HR community. And you guys have a powwow coming up before too long, don't you?
Yes. October the 19th and 20th. I hope I have those dates right. it's the 63rd annual conference sponsored by the University of Alabama. We moved it 3 years ago to Birmingham. It used to be in Tuscaloosa. And it is my favorite conference. It's an educational conference for human resources professionals. And I love being a part of it. I'm on the planning team every year and recruiting dynamic speakers, but dynamic speakers with a message that inspires us and teaches us and helps us to be better at what we do.
All right, so if that's October, there's probably still plenty of time to register as an attendee, maybe even time for sponsors to get in touch with you or somebody.
And there's a website now. It's www.hrm.ua.edu.
Well, first of all, congratulations for remembering that URL.
Yes,
That's pretty impressive.
I'm surprised.
Well, we'll double check it when we publish on the network, but I think you nailed it. So that's going to happen here in Birmingham.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love Birmingham. What a wonderful city. And the place we're having this conference at is beautiful.
Oh, it is beautiful, definitely.
As well. All right. So if our listeners want to get in touch with you, have a conversation with you or someone on your team about your work in your practice and or about your work with HRM, what's the best way for them to do that? Like an email, phone, LinkedIn, whatever's appropriate.
Probably email is, as I heard that at the last presentation, email is still the preferred way of being contacted by a lot of people. And I would agree that that's preferred for me too. But it's, you can go to my website, lgthompson.com, or you can email me at lgthompson@aol.com.
All right.
Got that years ago, and I just kept it.
Yeah. Congratulations on
that,
too. All right, Lena Guest Thompson, PHR, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed meeting you and getting to know you, too, so thank you.
Well, it's our pleasure, and if we can wang-dangle it, maybe we'll see you at that conference that
I
you got
so.
Going on.
So, I do. Thank
yeah,
you.
We'll talk off air about trying to make that happen.
Okay.
All right. We will be back in a few from the Business Writers Conference brought to you by Business Writers Exchange.